morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how he's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
All excited. This is our fourth Sunday of Lent already. And for our Lenten study here at the Lenawee County Mission, we've been journeying through the Gospel of Mark. And we're about halfway, a little over halfway. But I want to take a moment and kind of say, well, now that we've kind of looked at some of the things that are happening in Mark's Gospel regarding the life of Jesus, that's enough of us to have tasted a little bit of what Mark's trying to do. So today, I really want to focus on more of a maybe an academic approach to biblical study on, now that we've tasted Mark's Gospel, what are we learning from it? Okay? Now in here we call this kind of an inductive method of biblical studies, grounded in a narrative theology. Narrative theology. Justin, you remember what I said narrative theology is all about? Big word, narrative.
Story.
Story. Yes. Whose story?
God's story.
God. Okay. Yeah, we would say that in essence, the Bible, right, is a sacred word. We say it's sacred because it's God's story. That the Bible is a library of stories about this God, about God, and human beings encounter and experience, interaction with. You with me?
Yeah.
So it's a narrative. It's a story. Then we went on to say that, well, if it's God's story, then the book of Acts is still being written. The story's still going on. It hasn't really found its end type thing. And so where does that place you? Right in the middle of the story. Every good story has certain components. Component number one, we said, is
plot.
Plot. You got to have a plot. And every good story then has to have certain
events
that kind of structure either, you know, there's nothing like a good movie, a good book, and all of a sudden, you know, the plot takes a right-hand turn. Well, usually to take that right-hand turn, all right, an unforeseen change in the, you know, takes an event to kind of redirect. Sometimes those events set you back, sometimes, but then you want to press forward because you have a beginning, a middle, or an end. Well, in order to have these events or these actions within the plot line of the story, you have to have
characters.
Some characters. Lord knows we got some characters here. We have events happening all the time, right?
Justin's number one character.
Yeah, characters. You need to have agents who engage in this action, okay? So, let's do this in reverse. Who are the characters you've encountered in Mark's Gospel?
John the Baptist. Teachers of the law.
Teachers of the law. We got John the Baptist. Herod. Herod.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Let's not forget the main character, right?
Peter.
The sick. All the people that you fed.
The multitude.
The multitudes.
Okay.
The unclean.
The audience.
All right. What if we had to group? You're right. Now you're getting a feel for this, okay? That there are characters. We can start identifying characters. Is there a way we could group certain characters together? Now let me give you a hint. Let's see if we can group them into kind of three different. The Gentiles?
Yeah. The people.
Okay, now are Gentiles and people two separate groups?
No, they're all.
That'd be
all the same.
Okay. What would you call that group?
Humans.
Sinners.
People.
Yeah, they kind of. You're going to have. Let's do this. We'll have three. And we can call them humans if you want, but what else is in
there?
Humans? How about disciples? Alright. So we kind of have this human group. Alright. Disciples, those who are following, learning, you got crowds. Alright, you're gonna have sometimes we looked at the Syrophoenician woman, so you might have a Gentile who comes to Jesus, right? So there's, in a sense, just by coming, bowing down, there's this declaration of faith, you know, in the foreign land, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, what else?
Divine.
How about we call it non-human?
Fair enough.
Demons, illnesses, right? Oh, that's right, he calms storms, illness. Some of the characters are these agents for the events. That's what we're talking about. Characters, these are the agents for the events along the plot line in the story of the Gospel of Mark.
God.
Who?
God. Or is he a non-human?
Well, it's his story.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to have...
Family is part of the human thing.
Oh, it's true.
Oh, boy.
What about systems?
Yep.
You might even call that authorities. Sometimes that authority's in the non-human section, sometimes that authority's in the human section. The Herodians, the Romans, right? The religious establishment of Judaism. Oh, that's right. Satan has a certain authority. They'll speak about Jesus' exousia, his divine authority. He teaches with such authority that he even what? Casts out demons, calms storms. So we have our three characters, at least our subgroups of characters. All right? So when you go back, you know, and you start reading Mark's gospel or any other gospel, story, the good news in a narrative form, think about these type of characters, right? Well, then what do you recall what we've read thus far? That might be just some events.
John the Baptist was beheaded.
John the Baptist was beheaded by the Romans. Okay, so some of these events that you can start carrying, you know, you start putting some of the particular individuals, right? John the Baptist, you can put him underneath this human disciple type category, right? The Rome now, even though we're talking about Herod, Antipas, is a human but representing a certain system, right? So if we wanted to say if there's that event with John the Baptist, how is that consistent with the plot? Because do we know what the plot is?
Kingdom of God.
Yeah. Mark's plot line really is about trying to say, I mean, from the get-go. He says this is the good news of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, right? Son of God. And in chapter 1, 14, 15, he tells after he's been baptized, after he's been to the desert, he announces what his mission is. This rule of God, this rule of love, we've learned, right? The basileo ta theo, translated kingdom of God. Basileo, it really ought to be understood as a reign, a rule, a way, not a place. It's not a territory. It's not somewhere else. Kingdom is about a reign, a rule, a way. Now, we would say 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16 tells us that God is love. And so this reign has to be consistent with how we understand God, love. So it's the rule of love. And so for Mark, the plot is Jesus is really going to launch, inaugurate, right? For the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. It's starting. So Jesus then is going to not only announce, but engage in the establishing is efforts to establish the rule of love against struggles and obstacles. That sounds like a great story, doesn't it? There you go. Now, we haven't quite gotten to the end yet, but we're kind of pretty familiar with it, aren't we? Okay. Because it kind of has a nice little twist at the end of the story. Right? You think it's a tragedy, right? the main character, right, gets killed. But then we know he's resurrected. And he's victorious. Now, let's go back a little bit then. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Comments, questions? Is this helpful? Understanding from here on out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Jesus predicted his death twice, too.
Yeah. In our Latin study of Mark, we're not at that point yet. That's all right. That's coming. Right. So I said this. So thus far, we've gone through the first eight chapters, and there's this kind of crescendo. It's like any plot. You know, it's got to build. Well, that's what Mark's doing. He starts and Jesus is building this. Well, Jesus in chapter 1 announces what his goal is, what the plot's going to be about, right? Trying to inaugurate, launch, start, establish this new rule. Now, like anything else, I mean, if you're bringing something new, you can even think, I'm sure, you know, I know many of you have been in churches, and kind of those of us that hang around the church long enough, you all heard, well, we've never done it that way before.
Opposition.
Yeah, sometimes new things tend to create, resistance, opposition, a challenge. Well, how about them Pharisees? How about the chief priests? How about them scribes? How about Rome? So in a sense, if we're going to do what he did and say what he said, what can you expect?
Get what he got.
Get what he got.
If you're gonna do what he did and say what he said, you're gonna get what he got. That's need to put that on a t-shirt. That's good stuff. Yeah. Which is what we mean. That we're gonna have some resistance. Speak about some of the key resistance that we've discovered thus far. What was the number one resistance when Jesus came across? What was the first?
Well, they, who he was?
Resistance?
Well, by his family.
Yeah, they didn't honor him.
They thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
Along with those Pharisees.
The lawmakers.
The temple was...
I want you to go back even further. Because part of the plot line, if we're going to establish this rule of love, and Mark gives you two, we've already read these, Mark gives us two kind of key insights that makes it possible for Jesus, one, to even heal, two...
Wilderness?
What happens in the wilderness?
He's tempted.
By Satan.
Tried.
Is he triumphant?
Yes.
So Satan was defeated at the beginning.
Yes.
Satan's opposed.
Satan, and Mark will tell you later, right, that you must first bind up the strong man before you can enter his house. Mm-hmm. Mark's telling us that Satan was bound up in the desert.
Amen.
In chapter 1. This is a story, gentlemen. It's an amazing story. I mean, usually, you know, if you're going to watch the Batman, you know, Dark Knight Rises. they kind of introduce you to the characters, right? But this reign of love from the get-go. Boom. Been baptized. Right? We got the character of the dove kind of coming down saying, you are my beloved.
Now he goes to the world.
Yep. Wilderness, and Mark doesn't explicitly tell us, but we get the idea that he survived his temptations, right? So he's overcome the Satan. He has bound him, which now frees Jesus, to be able to now approach all these others.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.